Good morning. What's your name? And who's your daddy? Good morning. Stop talking, you idiot. Give it to me. Give me the gun. I'm John Connor.
Oh, yeah. It's on, baby. It's on. Von Österreich, from Austria. Welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I'm your host,
Sean Benson.
Man, oh man, it's like 7 a.m. I am driving through like the Austrian hinterland, like country roads that are about a car width wide, but you have to pass, you know, it's technically a two lane with cars coming at you. The most gorgeous fucking scenery I've ever seen is over here. And I'm sure, you know, somebody'd be like, no, you got to go to Switzerland or Italy. Don't care. I'm here. Holy crap. I keep pulling over to take photos, and in fact, I'll be back in a sec. I just see another one. We're back. I just had to shoot some cows. This trip has been unbelievable. If you don't know, or if you're not following on Facebook or whatever, I am now driving from... Oh, God, there's another photo I should be taking. From Austria to Frankfurt, fly home. After a week driving tour of Germany with my mom, who's from here. She's 77 years old. She ain't getting any younger. And, you know, I was going to do the whole, like, everybody always asks me, why are you doing this trip with your mom? Nobody's asked me that. Nobody. Because everybody, I don't, maybe my brother has, which makes sense. Because nobody would ever really ask why you do such a thing. If anything, people are like, holy crap. That sounds, like, cool. And I think I've been asking myself why I would do such a trip. You know, I've talked on the podcast. I don't have a tough relationship with my mom, but I do have a tough one with my parents as a unit. And it's because they don't get along that well. Which was interesting on this trip because, you know, my mom and I just spent, 8 hours a day in a car together. And then we'd be in the same hotel at night. And just had a wonderful, I mean, fucking wonderful time. Where it gets interesting for me, and this is fundamental to a bit of what I want to talk about today, is whenever we touch on anything real, then it could get weird. And the reason is because I just feel like a lot of people don't want to deal with what's actually happening. They want to deal with their version of it. And that's, maybe I see it because of my mom. So for example, we can just have this lovely day. She's telling me stories about her childhood. We're just talking. She's asking me about Emily or music or what my goals are for the next 10 years. I'm asking her hers for the next 10 years. You know, normal, just you're driving in a car, conversing kind of stuff, I guess. And then, I don't, you know, if I'd say, would you consider getting a nurse in one day a week because she has trouble walking and sometimes has trouble remembering things. So what happens is my dad, who's 10 years older than her, has to always know where her bag is, always know where her cane is, always know, and I know this because I just took care of her for a week. And again, I wanted to even just qualify that and be like, oh no, but like, you know, we took care of each other, but no, we didn't. Like, I can do this trip on my own and she can't. And that's kind of the point of having a nurse in. And then she's like, why would I do this? You know, and it's amazing because it's the real thing we're talking about, which creates an insane response of anger, of defense. You know, your father loves doing this. I'm like, he might love doing it 6 days out of seven, but I can tell you from a week that this is a lot for one person to have to do. I used the example of not drinking. I said, you know, it takes a lot for me not to drink. That's my version of a sore knee. It's a constant and active type of recovery, so to speak. If I rely, and believe me, I know this because I did it with an ex-girlfriend, if I rely solely on Emily for everything, for my fun, my downtimes, my this, my that, we're fucked. Like, No one human can handle the weight of another human's full recovery, nor should they. I believe that's called eating one another alive. But the point is that she refuses to accept this. And I even posted something, and this to me had to do with the gun fucking shit in the States, which I'll talk about in a sec, but I don't want to talk about much. Talking about the gun stuff in the States is like talking about your addict cousin and being shocked that they went and did drugs again. I mean, that's all I have to say, is that America's addicted to guns, period. Like, there's no, you know, and so if you, aside from actually fearing for your safety, in which case maybe don't live there, because it is a less safe place to live, you know, but in any case, if you can't get off the track of what's up with America, including, by the way, if you live there, because you could leave. You might need an Al-Anon meeting. An Al-Anon is for people who are so fixated on another's alcoholism that they can't live their own life fully. So I'm not even kidding about this. If you're so affected by the fact that, you know, your cousin John can't get off the smack, that you can't have a good day, go to an Al-Anon meeting or find a therapist. That's all I got to say about the gun shit. There'll be another shooting soon, and there'll be all the same Facebook posts soon. It's that country. It just is that country. So let's not pretend it isn't. America has a lot of brilliant qualities and a lot of shitty ones, and that's one of the shitty ones. And that's probably why we hate it so much, because we think it could be great. And we're going through the same thing in Canada with our conservative government. Whatever. I'll tell you this, man. If you want to make things insignificant, get farther away from them. You know? Like, if you're struggling with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, back up. Back the fuck up. And go do other shit. You might realize that it's not as important as you think. I'm not saying that voting on October 19th in Canada isn't important. It's probably the most important thing you can do. Actually, I'd say it is. Other than, like, you know, whatever your baselines are and living well that day. Vote, man. People fucking died for this. And all this bullshit freedom that we all pretend we have, that's one actual version of it. Because you can actually vote. As opposed to, we're the freest country, you know. On any day other than the day you're voting, no, you're not. So go be free that day. And seriously, that should be Remembrance Day on the day you vote. That's the day to wear a poppy. Because real men and women actually really died to really give you that freedom. So don't fucking neglect that or you're a loser. Sorry, but if you don't vote, you're a fucking loser. Seriously. Because again, then I have to be led by someone who may not be the person who, in a weird way, is supposed to be leading the country. But maybe that's not true, because if nobody gives a shit, then the 20 or 39% in the last election who do give a shit are who should be choosing. I don't know. I'm torn on that one. Because, you know, on one hand, I think you should literally need to pass a test to vote. And if you fucking believe things that aren't true, then you don't get to vote. Like, wouldn't that be amazing if someone went to vote and they're all like, oh, well, I got my fucking freedom. And I'm going to go vote, and, you know, I'm going to use my example. I'm going to go vote conservative because they saved us $1 billion in the last fiscal quarter. And then the test question is, you know, did Stephen Harper run a deficit? Well, no, he saved us money. No, he didn't. So you don't get to vote because your vote's it's based on lies. God, that'd be nice. God, that'd be nice. Anyways, as you step away, it's like, I'm just kind of fucking, here I am driving through Austria ranting about this, but I would be anyways. This is the thing about having a podcast, is that I'm talking to myself while driving anyways, so I can't pretend I'm not. I don't know if you ever do that, but do you ever kind of like put off doing the thing you know you're going to do? Because you're like, I want to be the kind of guy who just sits quietly with like a Clint Eastwood look on my face while driving through the Austrian Alps, you know, sort of looking off in the distance as the sun rises and I'm driving through the... I'm not that guy. That's not me. When I'm driving through it right now, I wish you could see it. There's mist coming up off the hills. These little two-lane roads. Oh, by the way, okay, let's just fucking go here. I'll get back to the stuff about my mom in a bit. Or not, whatever. This is like the World Wide Web, right? Like, I'm fucking driving, I'm thinking, who gives a shit if we get back to where we started? I'm on a two-lane road right now that's narrower than any, like, Guelph to Elmira country road, okay? And the speed limit is 100 kilometers an hour. So, you're like, okay, so it's normally we have 80. Yeah, kind of. But there's no, like, 70, 60 with a cop waiting. Okay, now, last night my aunt said to me, you know, what's this? What is the speed limit shown in Canada? Because I was talking about driving 210 kilometers an hour all day. By the way, with my 77-year-old mom, who's just sitting there super fucking relaxed. She's killer for a road trip. And I said, 100. And she says, yeah, und was? And what? The idea to her that our speed limit would be 100, you know, is no, it's not even conceivable. So she says, and what? Like 100 and what? And I said, nur 100. Just 100. She started going, she's 72. She's like, no, 9. And then she yells to the kitchen, Claudina, there comes nur 100 gain in Canada. And the whole room starts laughing. And they should laugh. We're a fucking laughing stock. Look, we're not free. Okay, I'm talking about freedom on elections. Sorry. But do you realize that I'd have been arrested 1,000 times since I got here, could be fined $10,000, and my car, whatever 1,000 cars I'm driving, I could only do it a few times because I'd be arrested, for what I've done here, I have not heard a single person. When you're driving 170 and cars go by you like you're standing still, I'm just grinning. You want to know what the cardinal sin is, though, on the highway here? And look, I'll get to traffic in a sec. The cardinal sin is passing on the right. Cars will hammer up other cars' asses, but they will not pass on the right. Why? Because passing on the right is fucking dangerous. Driving 210 is not. Again, statistics bear this out, but this is where we don't have real freedom. This goes to the whole niqab issue with Harper. He's scaring people into thinking niqab equals Muslim equals terrorist. So then all of a sudden he rouses the racist base. And lest you think Canada doesn't have racism, yes it does, come on. And if you're afraid of fucking black people or Muslims, you're racist too. I don't mean not to like be wise at midnight in any neighborhood, but economic depression is where the crime is, not black versus white. So, in any case, the fear that going faster is less safe is the fear that makes an average person go, oh, I'm more comfortable with the speed limit. Yeah, because you're shit at life. Seriously, if there's a wide open road and you can't handle 130, that's okay. But if you can't handle being in the right lane while two lanes over someone's going 180, you're shit at life. And it's a version of Kim Davis. If you want a speed limit on like what's a version of an Autobahn, the 401, then you're fucking Kim Davis denying marriage licenses to gays because you want to impose your belief system on everyone else. Feel free to drive 100, but don't make me have to because, oh, it's more safe. Yeah, and gays shouldn't marry because it's in the Bible. I can't be more plain about this. Less deaths, less accidents on the Autobahn than on the 401, and I was driving 210 kilometers an hour with my old mom next to me. Not a fucking issue in the world. People, you're being bamboozled.
You're being bamboozled. It's not a tumor.
It's a fake freedom that we have sometimes. Like, sorry, but what's... You know I go on about this. It's the same as something like pot. I don't smoke pot. I don't. I never will again, good Lord willing. But It's a fake freedom that you can't grow something in your fucking yard, dry it, roll it, smoke it. You know, now we're pretty good about that in Canada. But if you live somewhere where you can't smoke pot or drive without a speed limit when a road's wide open, you don't have the freedom you think you do. Not in America. I don't care how many fucking guns you can buy. You're not free. I don't understand how this isn't a bigger issue. Because it literally affects our daily lives. Every day. It's a joke that I'm going to go back home. And in a speed I can do in second gear in most modern cars, without the car breaking a sweat, if not third. And I'm not allowed to do that. I could actually get arrested. Oh, for street racing, right? And again, this in Ontario is what happened. Is a few years ago, people, a couple kids banged up a car one night. Maybe it happened more than once. So they went, oh, well, that then is street racing. So they enact this law, and it's like, what the fuck? I'm not street racing. I'm an adult who drives. You know, and I drive well. And this is the thing. Okay, this is the other thing I want to talk about. When do people stop caring about being good at something? Like, look, car licensing's a joke, right? Like, it's a joke. I know people who can't fucking parallel park for shit. They squeak through it on a road test, and now they're licensed to drive. And then they kind of go, well, the speed limit's not just for you, Sean, it's for everybody. And it's like, why do I have to fucking drive like a I don't know what, not even a grandmother, because my aunt, who's 72, laughs at the idea of 100 kilometer an hour speed limit. Like, laughs at it. She's a grandmother of, like, adult, like, 20-year-olds, you know, and she's like, what the fuck? Are you kidding? You know, and then even when speed limits come in because of construction, it'll be like 120, whatever. Now, by the way, if you think there's no traffic in Germany, there's a shit ton. The Staus here, the traffic jams, they're brutal. But again, you've got as many people here as Canada in a way smaller country. So, you know, it's not like, this isn't some traffic utopia. But I've spent 8 hours of, like, the 12 hours I've driven so far, whatever it is, with zero traffic. When the traffic hit, it was brutal. But without that traffic, I've had the nicest drives of my life here, actually of my life, which doesn't even include the Nürburgring. Man, I wish I had my 911 over here. So the idea that I can't do that, it's just, it's absolutely criminal. It's criminal that makes me a criminal. Sorry. And by the way, if you listen to Adam Carolla's podcast when he got back from Germany, I apologize. I'm plucking some of the same low-hanging fruit. But it's not low-hanging fruit. The other night I went out for a jog in Würzburg. Gorgeous old city. And my mom's, you know, tired, goes to bed. I go out for a jog for a while. And I'm running through the old city. And I turn a corner off one of these cobbled roads. And there's about 200 people on this 1,000-year-old bridge that's lamp-lit with carved stone statues. And it's got, you know, castles in every direction with the castle lights sort of trickling down onto the river, creating something out of, you know, a painting. And all these people have a smoke and a glass of wine. Again, I don't drink. And that night, I sure wasn't having a cigarette, although I like one now and then. All these people should be fucking arrested, or if, at least not arrested, charged in our country. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, and again, I'm sorry to replicate what Adam Carolla talked about, but there are some startling things that can't be ignored. Look, if you ask me what Germany's like, I can't really tell you. It's, I mean, for me, the scenery is stunning. Someone said it was a lot like Canada. Not true. It's, I mean, at least not Ontario. Ontario's too flat. Ontario's driving. You have to drive an hour to get to the Forks of the Credit to do 7 turns. And it's worth it because it's like water in a desert. Whereas here, I'm just swooping around these gorgeous roads. So that, I don't know what Germany's like. That's a culture. That's a deeper thing. And I think I'd be a bit of a jerk if I started going, Germans are blah, blah, blah. I don't know what Germans are like. The ones I met were lovely. You know, they were also hotel wenches who were being paid to be nice. So what are you going to do? You know, oh, that whore's really lovely. Of course she is. You're paying her. Everyone we're meeting on this trip, we're paying, right? Like, we're going from gas station to restaurant to whatever. We're not hanging out and meeting colleagues or anything. So I don't know what Germans are like. I know what the roads are like, and I know that it's fucked that if you want to walk outside... And by the way, what was interesting, too, is it was a beautiful night, and it was one of the most social and chill groups of people I've seen. Hundreds on this bridge, enjoying the scenery, breathing the air, even if they were smoking, who gives a shit? And that's illegal. Come on. You're not free. Like, we focus on the wrong things. We really do. And by the way, probably not a lot of my listeners are like staunch fucking middle Canada, middle American kind of, I'm fucking free. But you're not free if, again, you buy 1,000 guns, but can only drive, you know, 50 miles an hour to get them. You're just not. It's just how it is. Anyways, I don't want to get into more of the left-right shit because I hate that shit. Over here, I really realize, like I always say, I'm not left or right. And if you were listening to my podcast, you'd go, no, that's bullshit. You hate the right wing and you're always going on about the left. I'm like, you're right. I do hate the right wing currently. I don't hate what they could be. I feel like a bit like Jeff Daniels on Newsroom where, and again, it's such a device, right? You say, oh, I'd be a Republican, if only, and then you basically trash the Republican Party, but sorry. Like, number one search term in Canada right now is like, how to sponsor Syrian refugee, and number one contender for president in the United States is like, I'll send all the fucking Syrians home. Like, it is different. It's not me. But I'm not just a lefty either, and the reason is when I back up over here, I just go, yeah, there's so many areas where I want less government and don't buy these bullshit notions of quote-unquote safety. And I think for me it has to do with fact-based, and this goes back to, at what point do we stop caring about being good at anything? You know, my mom always says, oh, I wish I could speak more German. I miss German. I wish I could speak more German. It's half the reason we're on this trip. Because I always want to know my heritage. So I'm like, I'm way into the history and all that shit. So I'm like, okay, let's go. Because I've always wanted to know what it really means to be German. Not just that I, you know, again, if you're listening, my dad's from Ireland. My mom's from Germany. They came in their like late 20s, 30s or whatever, or 20s. So they were, like imagine being 25 from Canada or America and then moving somewhere else. Everything you do is framed in reference to where you came from, at least for a long time. So as this is happening, this frame of reference stuff, I'm growing up not quite as a Canadian because everything I'm being taught by my folks is coming from a different frame of reference, which, by the way, sometimes when I was younger, I was accused of being a bit elitist. And then I'd be like, no. And it's like, no, I am elitist. And I'll tell you why I'm elitist. Because I practice driving. It's a conscious, active thing for me. I'm better at it than you, not all of you. Eric Valdez, Kobe McLaughlin, you know, these guys are fucking brilliant drivers. I'm not sure who else listens, you know. But Bill Hornbrook, if you're listening, I mean, these guys are better drivers than me. So, but I mean you as in the general populace, because I guarantee you those guys don't want bullshit speed limits either. So my elitism is like, why do I need to be dragged down by people who don't give a fuck about anything? You know? That is, if that's elitism, I'm all for it. Why should I have, yeah, anyways. It's, and it's funny because my elitism, again, doesn't go into the whole tax bullshit of, well, why should I have to pay more taxes? I pay a percentage. And I have very, you know, fair and lovely write-offs as a self-employed businessman. So, blah, blah, blah. I just, the elitism does come, I think, from the European background. That's where that comes from. So my mom, basically, will say, I want to speak more German. And then I'm like, great. And then I'll send her a bunch of, like, German organizations nearby. She'll be like, oh, I don't want to do this. Okay, I won't go into the whole specifics of it, but she just doesn't want to do it. She'd rather complain about not speaking German than go speak German. I got a few people in my life like this. You see them everywhere. My hip. Do you understand what I'm doing for my hip? I'm getting fucking ultrasound. I got an MRI coming up. I'm caught, like, I'm talking daily. Like, if not weekly online, daily working on different ways to do what I want that helps heal my hip. I went and swam for a kilometer and a half last week, and my hip's been really good since. Guess what? Swimming's now a part of my regimen. The weights I was doing seemed to be aggravating it in a way. Guess what? Weights no longer part of my regimen. Going to core. Like, no weights. Because I don't want to be my mom. I don't want to be the person who 3 years after complaining about something is still complaining about it without having effected a change. And by the way, the change isn't if only it would go the way I think it should. Okay, that's not a change. That's the same behavior. So if you're thinking, if only it would go the way I think it should, that's the old behavior. The new behavior is dropping the weights, moving on to the swimming, because it's that will work for me. And by the way, that'll lead to some other something or other. But I'm not patting myself on the back too much. But yes, I am. Maybe that's why I can be an elitist. Now, the one thing is so funny, because I remember being a prick about smoking when I was younger. And smokers were like, well, they wanted extra free time at camp, like an extra 5 minutes a night to go smoke. And they're like, well, if we're smokers, do we get to get away from our kids for a second? And the answer was yes. I love that, like, 17-year-old counselors back in even the 90s could be like, look, I need to get out and smoke. so, you know, and they'd be like, yeah, okay. So you do get to leave your kids for a sec to go do that as long as they're covered. So at the time, I'd never been addicted to anything. So I said, well, what if I have a habit where every night I have to go out to the tip of this one rock and touch a pole there? Do I get to do that? And everyone's like, you're an asshole. Now, on one hand, no, I'm not, because I'm describing religion, right? You create a set of observances, and then you go, hey, by the way, I get to do this, right? But on the other hand, so why not? Like, why not? Seriously, why not? If it can be done, if your neighbor will go, yeah, I'll cover your cabin while you go touch that thing at that rock, why not? And why not go out the smoke? Again, I didn't understand addiction. So, you know, that's why my elitism, I think, is very tempered with a humanism. And I hope yours is too. You're not as good as you think at anything. Sorry. You're just not, you know. Oh, hold on. I'm at a border. Am I? I might be going into Germany right now. I don't know. It looks like a border. This is something I wanted to talk about. And then I'm going to take a break. Don't let other people interpret anything for you unless they're an expert and you've asked them to. Like, I asked my karate teacher to interpret the history of karate for me. Okay, and then hopefully, being an expert rank myself, I'm doing the same, and we're moving it forward. But even then, one person's opinion isn't enough, because at a certain point, these are interpretations. Every single person, when I told them I was coming to Germany, mentioned the refugees. As though there's just, like, you can't even get down the Autobahn. It's like Walking Dead. This is how it was described, you know? And I don't really follow the news that much anymore, and my Facebook feed is even, like, Facebook feeds are killing me, man. It's like, I hate it. I fucking hate it. And if you hate my Facebook feed, good. We're all on the right track then. Let's get away from this. Seriously, let's get away from this. I'd actually rather, you know, on a good day, I think 1,000+ people listen to this podcast. And then some days when I haven't posted for a while, I'd way rather just come and talk to 1,000 people and do this than do it via Facebook and electronic transmission. I really would. As much as I can't really do the car cast then, who gives a shit? It'd be better on stage or around a circle with a bunch of you listening and the appropriate amplification for who's there. And we'll get the hoots and the hollers and the fuck yous and the yays. It'd be so much more fun. Come on, right? You know, it's a weird connectivity we've created. But anyways, these feeds and these this and these that's is the refugees. I haven't seen one. Okay. Now I say that because, again, yeah, there's statistics, but like, there's just news will paint a picture and say some stuff. That's called interpreting it for you. So there's facts and there's interpretation of the facts. Don't let people interpret facts for you unless they're experts and you've asked them to. Okay, so when I have an ultrasound on my hip, I can't read that. So I need an expert to read it for me. That's okay. That's an expert who spent fucking how many years in medicine. That's different from the newest blonde reporter on the network with a political agenda. And by the way, doesn't matter what their agenda is, they have one, telling you what to think about refugees. Okay? This is how people get elected, is you start to get scared of something that isn't happening. Now look, the number of gun deaths in the States, that's not interpretive. That's a fact. So that's the fact that addicts want to ignore. You know, but again, don't be surprised when your alcoholic cousin Jimmy has 9 times the number of drinks of anyone else at the wedding. And don't be surprised when you tell him that and he goes, fuck you. I think you might have a drinking problem. What? You know, you keep noticing how much everyone's drinking. And then you're like, oh yeah, well no, you're the one with the drinking problem. It's like, well, you actually do have a problem with drink, i.e. go to that Al-Anon meeting. Jimmy's doing fine, he's having fun. Gun nuts are having a good time. They like guns. The more you talk about guns, the happier they are. Unless you're actually campaigning for legislation. That's different. But campaigning doesn't happen on Facebook. Sorry, I mean, it kind of does, I guess. But I think campaigning would include a lot more listening than talking. It's the old Marilyn Manson from Bowling for Columbine, you know? Like, you knock on someone's door, and instead of going, you should vote for blah, 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 you're going to get a door slammed in your face, at least mine. Hey, sir, can I ask who you might be voting for? Listen. Get to know why. What's somebody else's opinion? This is my problem even with, I mean, everybody on my Facebook feed thinks the same way I do. Like, we should be watching all news, including Fox News, because you sure as shit want to know how people are thinking out there when it's scary like that. You know, I love the idea that you can't use a shooting to then springboard into talking about how to reduce shootings, or it's called politicizing it. When did that happen? Like, come on. Whatever. Anyways, I'm bored of myself right now. I don't even think I'm going to post this. Maybe I will. You guys are the best. You know, I'm back. Of course we're going to post this. This is the best. This is probably the best podcast I've ever done. I did notice, however, that I think my microphone was rubbing on a zipper. So I do apologize for that. I don't mind saying dumb shit. I do mind technical glitches. So we're going to work on it. But you know what? We're out here in a car cast, baby. It's the Wild Wild West. The Wild Wild West. Dum, bum, bum, bum. Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West. I think all of this really comes down to, and this is the point of this trip, and this is the point of this podcast, it's all familial. You know, all this shit is familial. The stuff I'm getting angry at, the stuff I get happy at, I mean, why do I care about supposed oppression, okay? Well, I grew up in a house where nobody would listen to logic or reason, and so then I go out in the world and I get so mad when voters won't vote from a place of logic or reason. I've talked about this before, you know? So it's interesting, you know, even with my mom, like spending a week carrying things for her all the time and making sure her cane is in the right place, you know, it's to be helpful. But a number of times when she'd start to go, where's my wood? I'd say, hey, you got to be patient, or, you know, chill out for a sec. And she might not like that, but we don't get to use our own whatever to insist on another's behavior. It's still a negotiation, you know. Now, the one thing I want to, you know, talk about is the narcissism of fear, okay? So here's a specific one. And again, all of this expands out into why I think I care so much about other things that actually aren't that important. I don't really give a shit about Donald Trump. I don't really give a shit about left-right. I don't really give a shit about the gun stuff in America. I hope I don't get shot. I know who I hope gets elected. Blah, blah, blah. But it's not that important. You know, not compared to my peace of mind. And usually that comes down to something internally familial. But here's one. You know, my mom, she's really got a bum leg. I mean, can't walk a city block, right? Even with a cane, it exhausts her. And, you know, she can kind of go down a block and back, and that's it for a while. But she has this fear of falling, going in or out of an elevator. So she'll start to go, you go first. No, 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 you go first, and almost get anxious about it. But she has never fallen in or out of an elevator. And even when she falls, she can't control the direction she falls. Because her idea is if you go ahead of her, she'll fall onto a person. So she feels more comfortable and therefore will insist that you go first. Now to me, that crosses a line. That's fear as narcissism. Okay? Fear of falling downstairs, she's done that and it could happen. So I'm going to walk in front of her and hold her cane and help her. That's a real thing, okay? Her fear is irrelevant. She actually might fall there. But the elevator thing is nothing's happening other than fear. And I refuse to engage in another's fear. Okay, so when she... So a number of times I just said, you go first. She'd be like, no, 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 I need you to go first. I said, you don't get that. Go ahead. You'll be fine. By the end of the trip, she could go in or out of the elevator at her will. Now, what it took was a few uncomfortable moments when she insisted and then used the, I might fall. And I'm like, yeah, but you might not. Because again, I'd spent enough time with her to know what the real fall could happen, the stairs, no question. And you know what's funny? She was never scared of stairs. This is what's so fucked about narcissism and the fear around it. She wants to control how I go in or out of an elevator for no reason, but interestingly, doesn't actually care that much about the stairs, even though that's where she could really fall. So her fear is totally misguided. And I just think, again, that this is not just my mom I'm talking about. I don't know where I do it because my blind spots are so pronounced. They're very well hidden from me. But I know where people around me do it because you see it so plainly. This is why I love my girlfriend so much. I don't go on about my love for my girlfriend so much. But God, this is a girl who just like me wants to grow this stuff and not spiral in it. She doesn't want to be talking about the same thing in a year that she's talking about now and takes active steps to move through it. I couldn't date her otherwise. I really couldn't. I would just be like, how are we still talking about this? And even if I didn't say it, I'd be thinking it, but there'd probably be a lot of other good things about her. So then I might swallow that, but that is one of my most significant issues with anybody. Obviously, I mean, the whole point I'm making is that it's familial, and my whole issue is that my family tends to, not my brother, but, you know, my parents tend to circle on themselves and replicate the same behaviors as 40 years ago today. I just don't want to be talking about the same stuff in 40 years. I'm sure I will be, you know, I'm sure I will be. It's how it goes, but maybe not. Maybe some of us, if we want, you know, if you want to get good at guitar, you can get good at guitar. If you want to get good at not living in your current state of unease, I think you can get good at not living in your current state of unease. It takes a sec. It's taking me a while, but it's getting better. It's just getting better, you know. And again, that's my thing. How's that working for you? I remember once describing how things should be, and a dear friend... said, yeah, how's that working for you? Gilly, if you're listening, thank you for that. Never forgotten it. She just said, how's that? And I mean, I don't know if I started laughing or crying or just my bottom dropped out, but it's like, it's not. My version of how the world should be and my anger at it not being that way isn't working for me. But kind of like I talked about earlier in the cast about, you know, if you don't like the American gun violence, you can leave. But leaving relationships is hard. It really is. You know, especially, by the way, friendships. Like, how do you break up with a friend? It's not really done. In other relationships, you do it. But when you're in a friendship, and why would you? You know, the only reason I think you would is because you're afraid of changing it. The fear of changing it makes it an all or nothing proposition. To me, that's a young man's game. But having honest conversations can be hard sometimes. And again, part of the reason is because of that thing I said about my mom, and I'm sure I do it, but the anger that flares up when you actually touch upon the thing that needs addressing is the thing that can make breakups happen. But if they do happen after you address something, even with like a guy-guy or girl-girl kind of like friendship, maybe that is the point. It's look, I have trouble with blah, 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 and then the person flips out and it's like, okay, well, that's going to be a problem then. You know, if I say to Em, listen, I have trouble with the amount of attention you're paying me in situation X, and she goes, I hear that. You don't get everything you're asking for, but I hear you and we'll work on it. Well, that's a good thing. If she goes, fuck you, how dare you? We have a problem now. Because something that was a big enough issue for me to bring up is a big enough issue for her to swear at me. That's a problem now. I throw out to all of us, when are you flared up by what people say to you? That's probably your sore spot. And that's probably where the change needs to come from. You know, I once had a friend who, you know, in LA would call me to listen to stuff, but I'd started down a program of recovery for myself because I was tired of having the same problem year in, year out. And what was interesting is some of my best meaning friends would just listen. Now, listening's important, but it can't be the only thing, because if someone just listens to me, or I just listen to my mom say things that aren't true, I'm kind of reinforcing the lie, so to speak, and not living in the solution. Now, it's a tough one because my friends didn't ask me to help them recover from anything. You know what I mean? So I'm asking my therapist for help. I'm saying to my karate teacher, help me with my karate. So when they just out of the blue go, here's a problem you have, it might not be easy to hear, but it's easy to hear because we've created a hierarchical structure in which I've asked for it. But if a friend just out of the blue goes, hey man, you're blah blah blah, and you flare up, it's easy to go, I'm flaring up because how dare you, but it's probably you're flaring up because they're saying something true. I'd be curious. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud on that one. Again, it's all familial, you know, for me. Where does this shit start? And what's the smallest version of it? Not the biggest, right? The smallest version is me as a kid in my parents' house. The biggest version is getting all political on fucking whatever I think my largest platform is, you know? And I really do think that's a pendulum. A pendulum of focus. You know, I focus long range, and I'm like, look at the world, it's so unfair. And it's really like, no, what's unfair is when I'm driving in a car with someone and it's hard speaking honestly because they perceive it as an attack. I think that's what I'm getting at. If somebody's honest with you and you think they're attacking you, either you're insulting their friendship with you or their childhood ship or their whatever relationship you have, or they are a jerk because their version of honest doesn't mean it's true and you need to move on from them. I don't know. Just fucking thinking out loud about how familial shit can echo out to why I perceive things the way I perceive them and why I react to things the way I react to them. And there's no one answer. But go on a driving trip with your mom for a week and you're gonna see some stuff. I'm gonna look at your relationships differently. My relationships to social media, my relationships to my friends. You know, I kind of go, oh, what am I accepting that I'm not happy with? And, you know, what interactions do I need to offer more to? You know, where can I be of greater service, but where can I also be less, maybe of a doormat? Because again, I don't function well when I have to just sit and take shit. But I do function well when someone's going through shit and it's an interactive experience. And I think that's really the fundament of what I'm getting down to, is an equal and reciprocal back and forth to me is fair with my mom, and something where she just goes on, and then if I say, well, what about blah, 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 and she goes, how dare you? That's not cool to me. That's not cool in any relationship I have. And I don't think it ever will be. I don't think it should be. But, and that's after having a great time with my mom, but we're all just people, you know? She probably got frustrated with me at times. I don't know when, because, you know, my folks like to just hum and say how great everything was, and most of the stuff is, you know? And that's another thing. You know, I talk so much about my childhood. It's not happening. There's this idea that we don't remember, we just remember. Look, I don't remember my childhood. I just remember remembering my childhood. The universe is just a turtle on a turtle's back. Okay, well, what's the turtle on? You know, what's the bottom turtle on? It's turtles all the way down. And that's kind of it, right? It's turtles all the way down, baby. It's turtles all the way down. It just keeps going. There's no one answer.
It just keeps going. Stop it. Stop talking. Stop whining.
Okay, I think Arnold's talking to me. Oh, if you didn't know that's an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, you probably couldn't tell.
We're going all the way to California. Of course I had sex with the maid. Maria was away for the weekend.
That actually is his reason for having sex with a maid with whom he sired a child that wasn't Maria's, was that she was away and he was left alone with the maid. So what do you think's gonna happen? God, I love that. I love that. I won't do the bit, but listen to Bill Burr's bit on Schwarzenegger. Nothing but net, baby.
Nothing but net. 40 years.
It's kind of true though. You know, I wish, again, I'm not that guy. I'm not Clint Eastwood and I ain't Arnold. I'm just me making little fart jokes to myself in a car. Doing a car cast. Okay, I'm done here, folks. I'm going to pull over, get a coffee in a little bit. Got a lot of work to do today. I wasn't planning on getting up and driving this early, but I booked another film that starts shooting this week. And then, oh my God, I'm going to New York City with Emily for the premiere of her film, Crimson Peak. So excited for that. And then, more work to go book with audition. I'm literally going to be in my hotel room recording auditions for my, like, laptop. All these different accents and shit.
Luckily, I've proven I'm so good at accents.
When you're this good at accents, baby, they come to you. They come to you.
They come to you.
So for this one role, I'm doing a certain kind of facial hair. And it doesn't necessarily suit all the other roles I'm auditioning for.
We're going to have fun.
We're going to have some fun with this. But you know, before I booked this current film role I'm doing, I was thinking to myself, man, I really want to shoot something where I can create, like, we'll call it the full benzo. You know, I feel like I've been moving in that direction. I had a reunion at my summer camp recently, and I never cease to be amazed by the fact that really probably was where I started acting. Obviously, it's where my music started. I say obviously. You might not know that. If you're from camp, you obviously know that because I was the music guy at camp. So I'd play every day for people. And I value that. Like, I count those as gigs in a way when I look back. Like, I've played thousands of gigs for people. And you know, most of them for no money, although I was paid as the music director, but you know what I'm saying. Anyways, the acting though, the skits, the fun of it, you know, and I actually had a girl who'd been younger than me at camp come up and go, oh, do you remember that thing you used to do? And I'm fucking blank. I mean, I'm looking at her, Jody's her name, and I was like, I don't remember doing that. And this was one of her things that she remembered from camp. And, but we used to come up with these daily, or I would anyways, and you kind of realize, like, yeah, these Saturday Night Live guys must get quoted their skits back that they don't remember doing, especially back in the heyday. And that was a bit of that, was I'd done such a volume of skit work at camp that I didn't even remember a lot of them. And I kind of liked that. I was like, oh yeah, I'm glad I didn't hang my hat too much on any one thing, you know, kind of kept moving like a shark. And even these podcasts, the only reason I ever listen back to them is to make sure the sound quality is okay and to see who I'm going to post, like shout out to. Partly it's a way to promote the podcast, and partly it's a way that I want people to hear from me first how they're being mentioned. It won't always be able to be done, but I'd rather I go, hey, you know, so-and-so, Kobe, I mentioned you in my podcast, instead of someone going, hey, Sean mentioned his podcast, him going, what? Because I know how I'd feel. Oh, I'd feel tickled. Because again, I'm the narcissist. So I'm like, what? People are talking about me? Yeah, they're saying you're an asshole. I don't care. As long as they're talking about me. Look at me. Love me. Notice me. And so the idea of these skits being how I sort of fundamentally started acting, what I was reminded of is how stupid most of them were, but how fun most of them were. In other words, I did not take it seriously. And as I move into this next role, I've got a few things coming up. I really don't want to take the work too seriously. I don't mean not showing up on time and prepared. I mean myself. Like just going, offering cool-ass shit to the director and not judging the director's response, letting it funnel through his scope, which is what the director gets to do, but just offering without censor. And again, it's a bit of what I do on this podcast. Look, I don't not believe what I'm saying, but I don't care that much about it, but I do. I hope that makes sense. I care deeply. But if you in a week said, oh, you said blah, 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 I'd be like, that was a week ago, man. And I'm not trying to be Miles Davis. You know, Miles Davis in the, you know, 70s or 80s when people would be like, play So What? He'd be like, that was yesterday, man. And he meant it. He wouldn't play it. He's like, what? He's not doing greatest hits tours. The guy was a legit musician moving forward. And as much as people yell at De Niro, hey, you talking to me? The idea that he'd go play that role again, he'd be like, well, I'm, that's not who I am, where I am. That's not the space I'm in. And by the way, it's not the space society's in anymore either, right? These things change. So it wouldn't even land with the same batung. You know, I listened to some one-hit wonders from the 70s, and not even necessarily one-hit wonders, but like House at Pooh Corner and Danny Song. These are gorgeous. I love these songs. I don't know if you could just have those be your hits today, you know, or maybe you could. Maybe they are that good. But they came from a time and place that needed a certain thing. The Eagles talk about that, that when they released Take It Easy, it was post all the negative Vietnam protesting. You know, the hippie movement had turned a bit sour. And then they come out and their first single's Take It Easy, man. Hey, fucking Take It Easy. Chill, brother, with this California country. And they ended up being the biggest band of the 70s. So there you go. I think the biggest American band of the 70s anyways. I don't know how they did against like Zapp or Pink Floyd. But definitely the biggest. I think they're the best selling American band of all time. And their hit was Take It Easy. Now, I don't know if Take It Easy would be a hit right now. I think it would. But that's just because it's so familiar to us. What I do know is it was a hit then because of the time out of which it was born. Nothing happens in a vacuum. So again, you didn't build that road, my friends. You didn't build it.
Wait a minute. How dare he say you didn't build it?
No, that road outside your house that's been there for 100 years. You didn't build it. It's called context, you dumb fucks. All right, this chatting between takes. I'm Sean Benson. Your elitist German fucker. Stop whining. That's a wrap.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me the gun. Stop talking, you idiot.
I want to ask you a few questions, and I want them answered immediately. I'm going to ask you a few. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. How are you? How are you? I'm going to ask you, you stupid idiot. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want them answered immediately.